Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Gamma Ray Podcast. This is Tim alongside Justin.
How's it going, guys?
Okay, guys, and this time we have a pretty heavy episode for you. We're venturing into the realm of serial killers.
First one ever.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, man. Did a lot of work on this one, so hopefully it brings attention to this guy because he's kind of unknown, really, in the world of serial killers. You don't know a lot about him.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, so we're talking, of course, about John Robinson, who is the touted as the internet's first serial killer. Yeah. He goes by the Slave Master or the Internet Slave Master as his monikers. And I have to be honest, before I started doing the research on this, again, I just never heard of this guy.
No, I mean, you had to, there's not even a whole lot of research on him, you could do on him. Yeah, you know, he's no Gacy or anything like that. You know,
no, he's definitely not a Gacy. He's not a Gein. He's not a Bundy. You know, which have all been done to death by now.
He had a pretty good run though. He just didn't have the body count.
I don't know if he was going for it. I don't know if he was actually going for it. You know, I just think this guy was just a grade A piece of shit.
Yeah, I think his stuff was more financial than anything.
Yeah, for sure it was.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's just delve right in because this guy. It's a piece of work, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So Robinson was born at December 27th, 1943 in Cicero, Illinois, of all places. Boy, there's something about the Midwest, huh?
Yeah. there's a lot of killers out there.
They're just churning them out over there. John was the third child out of five total kids of the family. So his mom allegedly was super strict, like crazy authoritative. Right. Yeah. Just was one of those hard ass people that just no matter how much you did, it was never going to be good enough.
No. I mean,
it might have led to why his dad was an alcoholic to deal with that.
It's a very real possibility.
I've been married. I wish I'd have been drunk a lot more of the time, or I might still be married to this day. All right. So when he was young, the guy was an Eagle Scout, which I don't know if they're even around anymore. Eagle Scouts a thing.
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if any of those scout kind of. I know the Girl Scouts are still around.
Well, yeah, because they're out there peddling their cookies.
Yeah,
child labor pushing those cookies.
But I don't know if Boy Scouts are still a thing anymore.
I think the Boy Scouts are. I don't know. Is Eagle Scout and Boy Scout? They might be the same thing.
I think it's an age thing.
Ah, that would okay. Well, that would make more sense. And when he was around the age of 14, he and his, the troops that they have, traveled to London and performed for the fucking Queen of England. That's a field trip. If you're going to go on a field trip, I guess that's one to have.
That's a hell of a field trip.
Jesus, man. You're going to perform for royalty. But as an American, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Queen of England. Just rickety. And she looks like she'd fall apart any minute. It's like the fucking dust and shit that's keeping her together. All right. So later in his life, Robinson went to Quigley Prep Seminary School for boys. And this was a school if you wanted to start training how to become a priest, which blows my mind.
After everything we've learned about this guy.
Yeah. I mean, what we're going to learn about him.
Yeah.
It's astounding.
Yeah, like of all things
was what he wanted to be.
Yeah.
But what would be typical for John is that he dropped out because his ass was getting into trouble all the time. Right. Just causing tons of shit.
Constantly.
See, I think guys like this, man, they just can't help it. Literally. They cannot stop themselves from getting into some shit.
I don't get. It's kind of always the case, though, when it comes to serial killers.
Yeah.
Like, they usually stay in trouble of some kind.
I mean, what do you got to do to get kicked out for being a priest? I mean, shit, it seems like they'll just take anybody.
Especially back then. Before all the...
Yeah,
before well, all I didn't the, think all about the that. Allegations were coming out.
Oh, man. That poor kid's butthole, man. Goodness gracious. And to get kicked out, they're like, you know what? We're good on that one.
Yeah, looking like a windsock.
Yeah, we're good. It's always pointing south. All right, so when he was 18, around 1961, he enrolled in Morton Junior College. There, he was studying to become a medical radiographer, which I'm not quite sure what they do. Maybe it's kind of like an x-ray tech, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Something in that ballpark. But again, like most things in this guy's life, he dropped out after 2 years.
Yeah, just quit early, gave up.
Yeah. I just don't, he didn't have the determination to do good, like the normal way.
Yeah, like he's always trying to find like the quick buck.
Yeah, he wasn't about working hard.
No.
He wasn't about being patient and earning something. He was an instant gratification kind of guy.
Yeah, that's a definite on this one.
Yeah, and in 64, he moved to Kansas City from Illinois, which I guess is a good lateral move. It's probably not too much of a shock going from Illinois to Kansas.
No, I can't imagine.
I imagine it's still farms. I imagine that's still the way it is. I don't know much about Kansas City, but I know one thing. I'm not going to go there.
No, I don't ever see myself going to Kansas City.
Man. No. And he went and he married his long-term wife, Nancy Jo Lynch. And together, these people had four kids, including twins who were born in 1971.
Just Nancy Jo Lynch.
Yeah.
That is a 100% Midwestern, Southern kind of
plain name. Jane.
Yeah.
As fuck name. Like that's dude. You know, and I saw pictures of her. She looks like a Nancy Jo.
You know, dude, out of everything I looked into this, I never actually saw a picture of her.
Yeah. I only was able to find the one and that was enough.
Yeah. You just smack on. Yeah. That's a Nancy Jo.
Yeah. Right I didn't need to see.
It's not a that. Nancy. It's a Nancy Jo. There's very different.
It's very on the nose. Yeah. I'm sure she's a wonderful person, but still.
I mean, there's been plenty of serial killers who had like regular families.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just didn't know what the hell they were up to.
Yep.
But on this guy, man, I mean, like she had to know something was up with what he was doing for years on end.
Well, I mean, a typical trait.
He might not have known he was killer.
Right. But
she must have known he was up to some shit. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, a trait of these kind of people, though, is that they can blend in, they hide and
compartmentalize.
Yeah. And they can play the role that they need to play depending on who they're talking to. They can cover their tracks really, really well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's still possible that
I still completely think you have to have known something.
Maybe he was a killer, but I mean, like he like throughout his life, he is constantly either being investigated by the police or being arrested by the police. Like this dude is constantly in trouble.
Right. I mean, even as a kid, but the thing about like you meet somebody and then you move to another state. You're not hearing
the
stories.
You have the whole,
hearing the stories. You're not running into people that know the guy. And you're like, oh my God, you're with John Robinson. What the fuck are you doing?
Of all people, what the hell?
Yeah, don't do that. You know, that guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But she doesn't get to hear those stories. So he can be whoever he wants.
True. I mean, that's one of the perks of moving away from your hometown. Yeah.
Right.
You just be like, I don't know.
I did it. I mean, not that I'm a killer. I'm not admitting to being a killer. But when I move from, you know, one city to another, you can kind of reinvent yourself and be who you want to be.
Yeah.
But exactly. I mean, like myself, I try to do that in a positive way.
Well, yeah, we're
Robinson. Not like John.
No. But speaking of like, you know, getting in trouble with him all the time. In 1969, Robinson was arrested for embezzling. Like this pops up a lot
John.
In this dude's life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like he loves embezzling.
I embezzle the air with my lungs.
Like, yeah, like nobody's business, man.
Right.
Because apparently, like, yeah, reportedly, he stole $33,000 from a medical office where he, excuse me, where he had forged his credentials to work as a radiographer.
Okay.
Radiographer. So, you know.
Whatever that profession
fake is. It till you make it kind of situation on that one.
Sure.
But, you know, after being arrested for it, he was sentenced to 3 years probation. Which is another thing.
Hold on a minute. So the dude steals $33,000.
Yeah.
Not only does he do that, but he also forges credentials to do that and gets probation.
Yeah, for medical.
Too. Both of those things feel like felonies.
They are. I don't know about. I think the embezzlement might be a white collar crime, but
like insider trading or something.
Yeah. But
still,
medical forging that's a legitimate felony. Like
okay.
But, you know, probation, is another one of those things. It pops up constantly. This dude is forever on probation.
Right.
And he would then, you know, after his 3 years of probation, he moved to Chicago, where yet again, he was arrested for embezzlement.
So it's a theme.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this is kind of where all his motives was always money related.
Yeah, fair enough.
After which, you know, he gets caught again. He's still on probation. And he gets sent back to Kansas City, where you know, God forbid you arrest the man.
Right. He must have gotten permission to leave, to go to Chicago.
Back then, you didn't need the, permission.
Right. Just checking in.
Probation's probation, yeah.
Yeah, you just check
in. But, it got extended.
Okay. So you back for
3 years. Longer. Yeah, they added time onto it.
Okay.
In 75, again, he gets arrested for securities and mail fraud. Using made-up medical company. Made-up medical company that he created.
Again.
it seems like kind of a one-trick pony.
It seems like this guy just kept like being successful at it almost.
Yeah, he gets away with it for a while.
Then I mean, it's like
probation,
and then he gets a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder why he kept doing it.
Yeah, because that's all ever happened. They were just like, you go for 3 years to 5 years,
right?
Just probation, probation, probation.
Correct.
But, even through all this, like constant stealing, embezzling money, breaking his probation, he's still a baseball coach. He's still a scoutmaster. And he's still a Sunday school teacher.
Jesus.
Like, of all things.
Well, I guess it makes sense with the, he went to the seminary school.
True, but
so he had some knowledge of it.
The background checks in the 70s weren't all that.
I think it was just like a gentleman's agreement, like a handshake. I promise I'm not going to steal from you. I promise I'm a regular Joe.
Yeah.
And that was good enough. I guess that was good enough.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, it probably would.
Yeah. I mean, this is still around the time where people aren't locking their doors and.
Yeah. Extremely trusting. It's before all this craziness.
Common sense.
Yeah. Pretty much. What was that? It was that, small town kind of mentality a lot.
Yeah. I believe, who was it? I think it was Richard Speck, I believe, who took like unlocked doors as an invitation to come into your house and murder you.
Yeah.
Always lock your damn doors.
Yeah. He was like,
what are you doing?
If your door was locked, that means you didn't want me to come in and kill you.
Right.
If you left it unlocked, that means you want me to kill you. So I did what you want. It was fucking bad shit.
I installed an extra door and locked it too, just in case.
Yeah. Dude, in 77, right?
It's a pain in the ass to get in the house. Yeah. I was just going to tell you. I don't leave much.
There's no way you got in here without some sort of breaking and entering.
Right.
But dude, in 77, right, Robinson was named the board of directors of a charitable organization headquartered in Kansas City. This dude just keeps landing like cushy job after cushy job
with no knowledge of what he was doing.
No, I mean, like,
there's no knowledge.
He knew what he was doing. He just didn't know what he was supposed to be doing.
The people that are hiring him.
Yeah, they had no idea.
No clue. He must have. This is what leads me to believe that guys like this can be extremely charming if they have to.
Yeah, that's like one of the characteristics
like
of serial killers.
Like he's fooling people with glamour. You know what I mean? Like he's just like blowing their minds with how nice of a guy he is. And he probably speaks really well, carries himself in a certain way where you're not even gonna think to look.
No. Like that's one of the things I think most serial killers have, unless they're like super crazy.
Right.
They're charming. They know how to blend in and everything. But dude, get this, right? Again, he's forging letters from the organization's director, right?
Okay.
And sent them forging.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, that's a
it's theme like Catch Me If You Can or something with fucking Tom Hanks. He's yeah. like forging checks. I don't know, it wasn't Tom. Yeah. Yeah, Tom Hanks was the cop.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It feels like this guy, but just for less money.
Exactly. But he's sending these letters to the mayor wanting to name him Man of the Year.
Man of the Year.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a hell of an ego this guy's Jesus got Christ, on
Man of the Year. Like that's a lot of hubris, man. Like that's just you have your ego is you can't knock that fucker down with a hammer.
No. Like Jesus. He sent like several.
Several. Oh, it had to have been several.
Yeah, naming him like how great of a guy he really is.
Right.
Dude, he'd go on luncheons honoring himself as Man of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm sure I'm Man of the Year, you know.
I had lunch today and honored myself the entire time. I'm on that train.
Well, I had lunch today and just.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I mean, I wasn't super proud of it, but I did it.
Like, after, like, dude, this dude gets arrested constantly for embezzling.
Yeah.
And yeah, constantly getting arrested for embezzling, forging papers, you know, right. You name it, sure. He does it, right? So Robinson, yeah, he continued this trait of stealing money like the minute he gets off probation. Like I think he was actually doing it even on during his probation.
He was cooking it up.
Yeah, at the very least he had it ready cooking to go. It up.
Yeah.
And he got off of probation in 79.
Okay.
He'd end up serving 60 years in jail, right? 60 years, sorry, 60 days.
My Jesus bad. Christ.
This dude is one old motherfucker.
Not is he the first internet killer, but he's also the first elderly man.
Just taking killer. People out left and right. Yeah. But, Jesus. he ended up serving 60 days in jail for most of his recent offenses. Okay. I think a lot of them got pushed back just to probation.
Sure. Okay.
But they probably racked up a little bit. But, you know, 60
days. So he finally was behind bars.
Yeah, at least for a little bit.
Okay.
And I think 60 days was probably a little too low.
A little.
For everything he was doing.
Right.
But, yeah, he wasted no time after he got out creating his next fraudulent company. Like, this dude stayed on that track. It's ridiculous.
Making fake companies?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fake company, yeah. It was this hydroponics company actually. Like, and one of the things I was researching about him,
right,
was that I believe he started it on his farm.
Okay,
and he had a neighbor. She was asking him about, you know, how the hydroponics are going.
Right,
so he brought her in to show her, and you know he's showing her around and everything, and. She makes the comment near the end of the tour that his prices are way too high. Like they're ridiculously high.
I don't doubt it with this guy.
And he, according to her testimony about him.
Yeah.
Like went off.
Oh, so he like snapped on her.
Yeah. Like he didn't beat her or anything. He's not to that point.
Right.
Yet.
Okay.
But yeah, he's degrading there. Like he's starting to
God, man.
Like he's starting to show his colors a little bit.
Unstable.
Yeah. Like he's not all there.
Yeah.
Like he went off that, like just cussing her out. He went off on her hard for something saying, hey, you might want to drop your prices down a little bit.
See, I think to a guy like this who's just all about money and the easiest ways of getting it, obviously.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. To his ego.
Yeah, because he thinks his work is worth X amount of dollars.
He's got it all figured out.
Yeah.
In his mind, he's got it all figured out.
Well, dude, I mean, again, right? This dude steals $25,000 from a friend of his with the promise of a quick return on his, like, $25,000 investment.
Okay.
And his friend was going to use this to pay his wife, like, She's dying, like her medical expenses. And he just ghosts him. Sorry.
Okay. So, all right. So, like, so he borrowed money from a friend of his.
Yeah,
he promised that he's gonna like, you know, double, triple your, all double and triple your money, yeah, or whatever.
And his the friend dude's was gonna wife use
was already she was like dying of some sort of sickness.
Yeah, okay. I couldn't find out which what she was dying of when right. I was looking into it, but he was gonna use that to pay her expenses.
Okay,
and he just straight up disappears with it, like he never pays the dude back.
A piece of fucking shit, man.
Yeah.
Good God. How do you do that to a person? I don't understand that that mind frame.
Because
I mean, I guess, you know, a person like this, you know? In his mind.
Yeah.
He is the most important person.
Like, but, this I mean, dude clearly like, thinks he's like a criminal genius, but every single venture he ever starts.
To steal from a company is one thing.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
have
not right to do.
They have insurance.
Right. They have ways to recover the money. And yeah. But to take the money from a guy who's doing the right thing,
yeah,
taking care of his sick wife is
with like the promise of I'm going to pay you back more than what you gave me.
Yeah. So like yeah. interest.
Exactly. This dude was like probably banking on yeah. getting that money.
Right. Because even, I don't know, even back, was it 79, 80 time frame?
Right around there, but right around 79. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, medical bills are probably, they can't, there's no way they're as high as they are now, but they had, if you're in constant care.
Yeah. That should have
that been so much money. So he definitely played that dude like a fiddle.
Yeah. It racks up quick.
Jesus, man. I just don't know how you like do that and go to bed at night and sleep.
Man, I bet you slept that. Like a baby. Honestly.
Like a fucking asshole baby.
Yeah,
is that that's I a mean, dude, horrible thing to do.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's absolutely terrible what he did.
Yeah, for sure.
But in 84, he goes on to create two more fake companies. Yeah.
Jesus, man. How many is that? Like five?
Four? Five? It's at least four, I think, of that.
God almighty.
One's called Equi Plus, and one's called Equi 2. So okay. He's not even real. Creative in the naming of these places.
No. Oh my goodness, man.
Yeah, like this dude.
I don't know how you come up with that many ideas for fake companies and then execute that.
I think it had to have been easier back in the day.
It must have been. There's just no way around it.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no way he's able to pull off continuous like fake businesses,
right?
And just make money off them for years before somebody catches them.
I mean, it was starting to sound like a good idea until the amount of times the guy got caught.
Yeah, dude, that's what I said.
I could really use 25 grand right about now.
Yeah,
you know, but I
like this dude,
I want to start a fake company.
He's forever getting caught.
Embezzling.
This man's never got away with a crime.
Definitely not embezzling.
No, if it involves some sort of fraud, he's never once gotten away with it.
I have to say though, I mean, I kind of blame the justice system of the time for some of this.
Oh yeah, 100%, dude. Like no one was keeping track.
Probation for all that? I mean, granted, you know, like I mean, I've never been to jail.
Well, see, the only thing I don't know.
Maybe
none
that's
of it
not a big a deal, but
violent crimes.
Yeah,
these are all like white collar crimes where it's just money.
But I believe anything over $5,000 stolen is grand larceny. Which is
I don't know what it was back in the 70s,
probably
in the 80s,
probably something similar.
Yeah, laws don't change too much. I'm sure.
I mean, they change
up a little bit.
They change enough. All right, so let me recap with this guy for a minute because I'm trying to wrap my brain around it. Like I'm literally having a headache trying to understand put this guy's life together. So
he's a baseball
coach. He's a scout master.
Yep.
What was the other thing?
He's a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah, Sunday school teacher, and
a
fake CEO of multiple companies.
Yeah, he was in a high level position for a charity in Kansas City.
Uh huh.
I think it was like the Kansas City Outreach for Downtrodden Women. I think is what it was called.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But Yes, I mean, even that kind of ties into this man about who he is.
Right.
Like what kind of a killer he ends up becoming.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of that, let's get into some of that. Because that's some of the research that I did on this. And I got to tell you, it's not pleasant.
No, not one not bit pleasant. Of what this man's done.
No, man. It's horrific, as a matter of fact. All right. So during the same amount of time that I think he was getting caught with all this bullshit of the fake corporations, he hired a young woman, Paula Godfrey. So he told her, like, hey, come work for me. I'm going to let you be a salesperson.
Yeah.
For one of my fake corporations.
So, like,
take your pick. It could have been any one of them.
Which is, like I said, that's like that whole, if it's too good to be true.
It probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this case is kind of like right here, this Paula Godfrey is where he kind of starts in on the.
Right.
Down on the luck women.
I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, it's kind of a easy target.
See, yeah.
That's another thing about this fucking guy that I'm starting to notice is that like all the stuff that he's doing is to take the easy way out.
Oh, 100%. He's not wanting to do anything.
And especially like, I mean, but in when you're thinking about it, like creating fake corporations, forging documents and embezzling money seems like it might be difficult to do.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a lot of work trying to come up with ways to not do a lot of work.
Yeah, like you put all that energy into just actually having a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a different
guy. You'd
be
pretty successful.
We wouldn't be talking about this guy, maybe.
No, he would have just faded away. No one would have ever known who he was.
Right. So he told Godfrey, don't work for me. I'm going to pay you hella good money. And I'm going to send you away for like an executive training. Right. So to a woman who is like, okay, hey, I need a job. I need to make some money. That's really appealing. And of course, like I said, this Robinson guy has to be somewhat charming to have gotten away with all the, much of the stuff that he has already.
Oh yeah.
To have level of charm to him.
To be able to convince a complete stranger.
Yeah.
That not only does she have a job, but he's going to be helping like get her there. Get her sent away for training.
The son of a bitch convinced a mayor that he was man of the year.
Yeah.
There's some level of charm there.
Yeah.
Where people want to like him. They want to like
really
him.
Good. He's really good at bullshitting.
I wish I was half that good.
Yeah.
So Godfrey told her friends and family that she was going away for the training that Robinson was offering her, right? So a long time goes by. No one's here from her. There's no contact whatsoever. Godfrey's parents finally filed a missing persons report. Robinson himself was actually questioned about her disappearance. Dude, of course, denied any knowledge of it.
Yeah. I mean, this, of course he's going to.
Well, yeah, if you're trying to get away with some shit. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just like, no, I mean, this is just kind of like, no, go on. I'll bring up what I was going to say here in a minute.
So he didn't, I mean, he denied any knowledge of where she was. And like a little bit later on, Godfrey's parents received a letter, right? Allegedly from Paula saying, hey, you know, I'm okay. I'm alive. I'm well. I just don't want to see my family anymore. I'm cutting ties with you guys for no clear or present reason. I'm just doing
it. Yeah, which is just like kind of, I mean,
it's
very
strange,
but it's not a regular occurrence, something like that.
I mean, it's the modern day equivalent of sending a text saying, hey, I don't want to see you guys and I'm blocking you.
Yeah.
Essentially. but it's like coming out of left field.
Yeah. That's,
there was never a reason really why she didn't want to see them anymore.
And this is kind of like the start of the police dropping the ball.
Yeah.
If they were able to get this, to do the proper research and investigating on this guy.
Right.
Like, because he is connected to so many people.
Well, I mean, you think through all the embezzlement charges and shit. Yeah. They know who he is.
Like, he's on their radar.
He knows. They know his name.
Yeah.
They know
and
his
you
name.
Would think you're connected to the missing woman.
Well, now he was only connected to the one. so yeah. far.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's connected to Paul Godfrey.
Right.
And right. he's already a career criminal.
Yep. And
they just go, yeah.
Well, so like, you know, because she was 18, though, the case was dropped.
Yeah.
Because she's not like a missing teenager. And, you know, it looked legit, like it was really from her. Because keep in mind, Robinson is good at forging shit, too.
Yeah, true. I mean, he's done his whole life.
Again, he forged letters to the goddamn mayor.
Yeah.
Of Kansas City.
From a director. Yeah.
You know, this guy is aces, you know? He's a wonderful human being. He's doing good shit, you know? And he convinced people. He convinced them.
Yeah, he was real good at that. I mean, I gotta give him credit for that.
I mean, so... All right, so in 85...
Yeah.
This dude... Instead of creating a company this time, creates a fake person. The guy, he changed his last name. So he wasn't that committed to it, you know? Changed his name to John Osborne.
Well, he still wanted... he didn't want to take that chance of...
Forgetting his own first name?
Yeah.
So he would go on... And then he would go on to meet a woman named Lisa Stacy and her four-month-old daughter, Tiffany.
And yeah, which this is
met them. Yeah, that's where he met these folks at the women's shelter in Kansas City. He promised her a job, just like he did with Godfrey. Promised her a place to live and daycare if they went to Chicago, where he's been back and forth between Chicago and Kansas City. Again, fooling somebody into doing something.
Yeah.
However he's doing it. Again, I think it goes back to what you're saying, kind of like preying on the weak, who's already in a tough spot.
Yeah, this would be the second woman he's done that to.
Yeah, she's desperate.
Yeah.
She's desperate at this point.
Especially if she's trying to... Yeah, exactly. She's probably down out of luck, probably crap job, has a kid to take care of.
And living in a shelter.
Yeah.
This guy comes in like a fucking hero. You see this
shining light. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he comes in like a fucking hero. And offers her everything.
Offering to change her life.
Yeah.
Of course she's going to jump on it.
Of course. And again, I think back in those days, people were just more trusting.
Yeah, you didn't have to, you weren't so wary about the man next door.
No.
Yeah.
Definitely not a guy like this who's walking into a fucking women's shelter, you know what I mean? Nonchalantly. Throwing promises out. All right. So he met her in the women's shelter, promised her all that other shit. So then Robinson had Stacy sign a number of blank documents. I think it was four or five, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
Had her sign those, which already
right off the bat is a red
suspicious as hell.
I'm telling you right now, my boss walked up and said, "Hey man, sign this piece of paper." I was like, "Well, where?" On the bottom right here.
Just sign anywhere. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah. I know.
As long as I have your signature.
I'm like,
how is that not a red flag?
Yeah.
I don't to just take a step back. I mean, but again,
maybe she probably just didn't want to. If she ever did think it was weird, she probably didn't want to take the chance of losing the job.
Well, I mean, it's possible. I mean, we don't really know what he told her they were for. So, I mean, it could have easily been. Yeah, it could have
just been like, hey, this is just so like when you send employed. Mail. We could check your signature against the signature on the mail kind of,
or it's more like, hey, I'm going to send these off for your W-2s and to make everything legit. You know, this is like I'm going to print up like the formal application
you sign or whatever down here. And then I'll print the page over it kind of thing.
Right. So Robinson, this piece of shit, then contacted his brother, Don, and his sister-in-law, Helen, told them that he knew of a baby that was coming up for adoption because his brother and his sister-in-law were having some issues getting adoption done. They were trying to adopt a kid. They were running into some issues with it.
Yeah. They were trying for years, if I believe.
Yeah, it was years.
They were trying to have a baby for years. Couldn't have one.
So they went the
adoption route.
They were
having trouble.
Right. So he told them that he knew of a baby that was coming up for adoption because the mom had allegedly committed suicide.
Yeah.
Which is all fucking made up. Yeah. Which is all made up. The whole fucking
thing. It was just another piece of shit move this dude's did.
I don't get it, man. I'm not going to pretend to get it either.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's, I think it's a mind frame, unless you're a sociopath. It's, that's the only way this would make any sense to you.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand too, right? You got to think that's got to feel like a power trip for this man.
Big time.
Because not only does he kill her mother.
Yeah.
Right. He then here's the baby of the woman I just killed.
Well,
yeah.
We don't know if he's killed her yet. You know, at this point, he might just be being a fucking asshole.
True.
Preparing for it. You know, there's not a good timeline for that. And there's a lot about these that are kind of just speculation, because he just, this guy was not, he was a talker for sure.
Yeah.
But not to the cops. So there's a lot of this stuff that, you know, you're just like, we think this is what happened.
Yeah. I mean, he was active for years.
Yeah.
Forging, all that kind of stuff, killing everything.
So his brother and sister-in-law give the guy $5,500 in quote unquote legal fees.
Yeah.
Right. They paid it to Robinson. The dude even sent them fake adoption papers.
Yeah.
Forged,
that's what I'm talking about.
Signatures of a judge and two fucking lawyers. That's incredible.
If the medical wasn't, that sure as hell.
That's so much. That's so much premeditation, man. I mean, the dude knew immediately what he was going to do.
Oh, 100%. There's no way around it.
I mean, he's down to the point of robbing his own family. We're not even talking about businesses or strangers anymore. His own brother, flesh and blood.
Yeah. And not only that, he's... Ugh.
Well, I mean, needless to say, Stacy was never heard from again.
No.
After they received Tiffany, the baby, they were never heard of again. But Lisa Stacy was never found.
No.
Never heard from, nobody ever got a letter for her, nothing. He kind of like, he did it on the first one, sending a letter out saying, hey, you know, she's fine. You know, he forged it, obviously, but this one, he didn't even bother with that.
No, yeah, he just
gave the kid just, up in a fake adoption. Yeah. And later on, I believe it was in 2000, the woman that was the baby at the time, Tiffany, did do a DNA test for Lisa Stacy, and it did come back positive that that was her mother.
Yeah.
And she had no idea until this guy was caught.
Just imagine, like, every time he saw that little girl.
Yeah.
Probably just chuckling away to himself in his head.
He might have just avoided him.
I mean, that's a very real possibility.
To stay away from
this guy kind of seems like the kind of guy who would have been confident enough to think he could have.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to be a good uncle.
Yeah.
Because the little girl whose mother disappeared.
Yeah. Well, 2 years later, he met this chick, Catherine Clampett. She was 27, and she left her kid at home with their grandparents in Texas, which thank God she did.
Yeah.
Thank God she did. So she went to Kansas City because she was looking for work. Apparently, you know, work was hard to find where she was in Texas. And she had to go somewhere else. And she met Robinson, unfortunately, who again made tons of empty promises, you know, the job, the training, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And the same, gave her the idea that, hey, I got this job and all the security that's going to come with it. So with this girl, there's not, I think he just flat out killed her.
Yeah.
There,
I mean,
there was really no other, he didn't really benefit off of it at all. And her open, she still got an open missing person case to this day.
Oh, really? I didn't actually, I knew that he didn't really get much out of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the missing persons case is still open right now to this very day.
Really? I didn't actually know that.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah. I figured, yeah.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's, this dude does insane. It's not. What's he at this point? 40 years old?
Yeah, he's born in 43.
Yeah, I mean, it's
roughly
early 40s. End of the 80s.
Yeah, yeah, late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah. He's already got into a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Like
he's a lifetime asshole.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that dude, like this dude finally all of his fraud charges, catches up with him.
Okay.
He ends up in prison for 6 years.
Good.
From 87 to 93.
Good. Imagine what he would have, what he could have done in those six fucking years, man.
Thank God he was in prison. There would have been way more quote unquote missing women in the area.
Yep. You know? I guarantee that.
Well, you know, while he's there, like in the prison though.
Yeah.
He actually meets a woman named Beverly Bonner, 49 years old. She's the prison librarian.
Okay.
Right.
Of all the places to meet a chick.
Yeah. Prison of all places. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he actually convinces her to like give him a job in the library.
Uh-huh.
So this kind of, you know, and after its release, she actually leaves her husband to go work for him in Kansas.
Kansas City. And he was like the doctor too. Yeah. Right? He was like the staff doctor.
Yeah. Her husband was the prison doctor.
Yeah.
And she actually leaves a doctor.
Dude. That's what I'm saying, man. The dude's got charm.
He's got something.
He has to have it.
And he actually offers her a position, like chairman position for that, his hydroponics company.
Went for the bigger, better deal.
Exactly. So, you know, that's how he pulled her. That's what I said, dude. This dude's a one-trick pony.
Right.
He has a formula. Yeah. I mean, he has a formula and it works and he kept with it. He definitely has an MO.
Right.
You know, he's really starting to show what he's capable of.
Right.
But he was able to get her to change the post office box where all of her alimony checks for her husband were being sent.
So they got, when she divorced the doctor and went with him.
Yeah. Yeah. She, the divorce finalized.
Clever.
Yeah.
There's no address to follow to.
No, it's just a PO box.
Yeah.
You know, and I doubt they're checking who's opening these boxes.
Not then or not.
No. But, you know, when this was all, you know, done, the divorce, everything.
Yeah.
The checks start coming in, right? The alimony checks.
Sure.
And of course, Bonner never heard from again.
Of course. Of course not.
Because no one sees or hears from her ever. Like, she didn't make it very long after getting to Kansas. He waited to make sure that money was coming in.
Yeah.
And boom. You know what I mean? Like, just gone.
That's insane. And
he keeps cashing them, too. Like, it wasn't just like he cashed one or two. He was consistently cashing these checks.
Sure.
Yeah. Excuse me. But, you know, her mother kept sending the checks. You know, Robinson kept cashing. That's he boom, 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 boom.
Right.
Just repeatedly. So it's easy money yet again. You know.
Yep. That's the name of the game here.
Yeah. And right around that time, yeah, you know, that Bonner disappears, he starts in on internet chat rooms.
So this is where
is where he kind of gets his moniker from.
Where the AOL comes into play.
Yeah, he starts AOL in on these BDSM site chat rooms.
Okay.
You know, under the screen name, of course, you know, Slave Master.
Hey.
Yeah. Super original.
Yeah. I mean, it's his moniker.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he's going for. So I guess, you know, he's up front with it.
Right.
Here's what I'm looking for.
Yep.
And he starts looking for women that wants to be a submissive sex partner.
So he's the dominant and he's looking for a submissive. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And these are early on chat rooms. You know, there's probably no monitoring going on, anything like that.
No, like I said, you got the AOL disk in the mail.
Yep.
Your fucking phone line.
You take 15 years to finally get onto the internet.
Yeah.
God forbid anyone calls you.
Oh, God. I remember it.
Yeah, me too. It's awful. It was not.
Fun. Oh, God. It was awful.
And even back then, it wasn't even like the internet was all that good to begin with.
No.
But he inevitably, dude, he runs into his 45-year-old woman named Sheila Faith.
Okay.
Yeah. And he does the same thing he did with all these other women. He promises, you know, to pay for her, or Sheila's, you know, her 15-year-old daughter, Debbie. She's in a wheelchair.
I pay think for a medical. Yes. If I'm remembering correctly, spinal bifida. Yeah.
I
there's an issue with her spine.
Yeah. But yeah, he promises to pay for expenses. He promises to give Sheila a job.
Yep. Damn,
he's pretending to be this like real wealthy philanthropist.
Okay. Yeah, it's that same template.
Yeah, so you know, now he's officially got the MO like locked in.
Right.
Here's how he's getting to his victims. Now they Sheila and Debbie, dude, they move from Fullerton, California to Kansas City.
Okay.
So you're moving from Cali to fucking Kansas City. Like, that seems like a downgrade.
I feel like if we're dogging Kansas City, it might be a wonderful place. I don't know.
I don't know, but
there's something about Missouri. I'm struggling.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like a downgrade, man. Like, there's no way you could think about that.
It can't be any worse than the South we're in now.
True. But, you know, I bet you can guess what I'm about to say.
Went missing.
Yep.
Oh.
Immediately disappeared.
You got to follow that template, man.
Yep. And, of course, another act of fraud. Like, dude, so this dude, he just stays
doubling
on
up.
That.
He's doubling it up now.
Dude, he's cashing Faith's pension checks up to 7 years after she disappears.
Fuck. 7 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time, man.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm trying to wrap my mind around it.
He's got one woman's alimony checks coming in.
Right.
Which, I mean, even back then, her ex-husband was a doctor.
Right.
It wasn't $200. It wasn't fucking $200.
No, it was probably pretty hefty, I would imagine.
Yeah. Then you got this woman's pension checks. I couldn't find anything that stated how much.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's money that he's not doing shit for.
Yeah. So, I mean, right off the bat, dude, I mean, this dude's making good money
off other folks.
Yeah. And
that he's probably killed.
Yeah.
At this point, they're all just missing.
Yeah. I mean, as far as anyone knows.
Yeah. They're all just missing.
He's always got some excuse, like they ran away, or she ran away with a boyfriend of hers or something. You know, I mean, it's always
right.
even its excuses are just not imaginative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so unimaginative that
he goes from point A to point B and there is no change for direction.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like boom, Arkham's razor, man. The simple solution is usually the correct one.
Yeah,
you know, so you give somebody a simple answer.
It's been working for him for years.
You give somebody a simple answer, and they tend to be satisfied with that. More complicated, the more fake it sounds.
Yeah,
at that point, you know, you're like, oh yeah, okay. You know, you give this big elaborate story, it sounds made up.
Yeah, yeah. I guess simple answers the way to go for him.
Right. So, like, because I also know that in. Around that same time, like when he started getting, you know, into the online chat rooms, he was getting pretty popular in the BDSM chat rooms, man. It's like Slave Master was kind of a big deal.
Was he? Yeah. I just knew that's what he went by.
No. He started getting known in those chat rooms for like what he wanted and what he was trying to get these women to do. So in 99, he found this 21-year-old Polish immigrant, Isabella Lewicka. And there's this, I hope I'm saying that correctly. I want to do the victim's justice. I'm hoping I'm saying that correct. So he right back to the same template, man, offered her a job. But this one had a little bit of a twist to it. He offered her a bondage relationship.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Upping it a little bit.
Right. So he's kind of getting maybe some of those fantasies out without having to. I don't know, murder.
Yeah, like he might,
I guess, or make them disappear. However, he's doing that.
Yeah, like yeah, kind of
magic trick, just making them fucking disappear. You know,
well, you know, or even dude. I mean, sounds terrible, but you know, he's wanting to use them up for what he can.
Yep.
Before.
Yeah. You know. So she comes to Kansas City. Her and Robinson get engaged, even though Robinson's still married to Nancy this whole entire time.
I will be honest. I forgot he was married.
Yeah. That's the like, shit, man. That's how much stuff.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, how does she not? Like, he's got all this going on.
Ignorance is bliss, man.
Yeah, and she does not get.
She's trying to be a good wife. She stuck with him the whole time he was in jail, the probation. Yeah. She's trying. I think she's trying legitimately to be a good wife.
Yeah. Well, you and you know, back then too. You know, you stuck by your husband.
Yeah. I mean, this dude even went to the courthouse with Isabella and got a marriage license. And they signed it and everything. I mean, of course, it's not a legal marriage because he's already married. But, I mean, he went, bought her an engagement ring, the whole nine yards. I mean, he went all out with this one.
Yeah.
But on top of that, he had Lewicka sign a 115-item slave contract.
Jesus.
Yeah, basically signing over everything to this guy, including like sex acts, all of it. Like he had full control. But of course, I think probably the most important thing to Robinson was that he had control over her bank accounts too now.
Ah, yeah.
Right.
I said, man, it's all about that, you know, about that money.
Easy money. Easy money.
Yeah.
And so in the summer of 99, somebody noticed that she was gone. Like, hey, what the hell happened to Isabella, you know? So he told like a web designer friend of his, I think that was probably part of one of his fake corporations. I was like, oh, well, you know, she got caught smoking weed and they deported her back to Poland. Nobody's going to reach out to Poland.
Yeah. I mean, say, at hey, that point, you're just like, damn, I didn't. That sounds a little harsh.
Wow. That's crazy. You know,
yeah. Man, but then insane. That's just how it goes. You know?
Yeah. Well, again, kind of in the same vein of all the others, she was never seen again either.
Yeah.
Never seen again.
Call me surprised, man.
The crazy thing is, so he met Lewicka and he was doing all that stuff when she was doing with the contracts and stuff. Like literally almost at the same exact time, he met another woman named Suzette Troughton. She was a registered nurse. Yeah. But see, he had changed the MO a little bit, right? So he didn't promise her a job and security and all these things.
Yeah, because she already had one. So
No. So she like legit signed up. She signed up and agreed to travel with him as his sex slave. So he was doing it now. He wasn't doing it with the promise of, you know, all the other shit that he was trying to give people. He was like, no, you're going to come be my sex slave.
Yeah.
And she was into it. And that's what she was looking for.
I mean, that's what you want. That's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, that's what she wanted at the time. So she was in Michigan.
Yeah.
So you met her in one of the chat rooms, and then she moved to Kansas City. Well, pretty much immediately she disappears. And then, Troutman's mother started getting on Robinson. Like, yo, where's my daughter?
Yeah.
And you're like, where's Suzette? And he said that, well, she had ran off with like an acquaintance of his or a buddy of his that he knew. Took off with him and also stole money from him to add a little bit of spice to the story. Like, she also robbed me.
I'm the victim.
If you see her, you let me know because she stole money from me.
Yeah. Like, I plan on pressing charges and whatnot. I want my money back.
It's a get it off of me and get it onto her. Exactly. So I'm the victim now. Don't look at me as a reason why you haven't heard from her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then again, dude, like, look at this. This is what, the third woman?
Third or fourth, yeah.
Who he has connections with, whose family contacts him.
Yeah.
And it's always the same answer.
The fucking cops interviewed him.
Yeah. Same, and he gives them the same answer. Now, this is why I said earlier that the cops were dropping the ball on him.
Yeah.
I mean, they were taking no as an answer.
Yep.
You know where she is? Nope. Okay.
Good enough.
To go. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what do they really have on them, though? They didn't have a body. Well, I mean, they didn't have suspicion of murder. They didn't have any.
The problem is that nobody, as of yet, has connected the fact that he's been with these women he was known to be around these women at the time of their when they disappeared.
Right. That's fair.
They haven't caught on to it yet.
Right.
Still, yeah, I mean,
it's still suspicious.
Yeah. It's like, dude, you're constantly being questioned.
Right.
About missing women.
Yep.
And they never pursue it.
I mean, I think it might have just came down to straight evidence. They just didn't have
anything to get him on. You know, later on, we'll see that. You know, they just didn't. They didn't have anything on them, concrete.
Right.
Yet.
Okay.
But yeah, but dude, right around 1999, right?
Busy year.
Huh?
It's a busy year for him. 99.
Yeah. Dude, this is right around. He starts slacking off about how cautious he's being. Like, yo, he's starting to get careless.
Like, not cover his tracks as thoroughly as he might have been.
Yeah.
Okay.
And thank God this dude starts popping up on the police's radar.
Right.
You know, like I was saying, dude, you know, his name's starting to pop up with all these missing
people. Taking cases. Notice. Yeah, they're taking notice. Yeah.
You know, in June of 2000, a woman was reported sexual battery claim against Robinson at his farm.
Okay.
And,
oh boy.
What is that? Oof.
Good luck. I'm trying to remember how to pronounce it.
E-Y-G-N-E.
Signy. Signy?
Let's go Signy.
Okay, Signy. Okay.
In Kansas, yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm trying to remember my maps. Yes, it's close. Okay. It's close to Kansas City. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, on top of that, dude, you know, this dude actually stole her sex toys, of all things. Like, this dude is a deviant through and through.
Man. God, dude. Yeah. Yuck.
I don't give a damn.
Yuck. I mean, oh my goodness.
I'm not stealing them. No, Jesus. Hell no.
Ugh. You think you'd be able to buy all the fucking money you were stealing from these poor people?
Exactly. Like, that's kind of what I never found out was what the hell is he doing with all this? Well, I guess he was buying a farm.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. But I never found anything where it said what the hell he did with all that money he was getting in.
No idea.
But anyways. So with this new charge against him, dude, the police finally have enough, like, even circumstantial evidence to get a warrant on him.
Good.
To search his property.
Right. So they went to his farm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they started searching all around his house, you know, all the, you know, his buildings and everything, dude. They find these two big drums.
Right.
Containing, you know, the remains of Luica and Troughton.
So, like, big, kind of like oil drums, chemical drums.
Yeah, like these big 55-gallon, the big old some, you know.
Yeah, where you can easily fit.
Yeah.
Probably
like 85-pound drums, 55-gallon, whatever you want to call them.
Okay.
These big old drums. And they find two of the women's, you know, Luica and Troughton in them.
Okay.
Well, here's the problem.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Popping one of those open. Holy hell.
Yeah. And you know, they searched his storage facility in Missouri. They found three more drums. All right. Containing the bodies of Sheila Faith, her daughter Debbie, and Beverly Bonner.
Fuck, man.
All of them were killed in the same way.
Yeah.
Blunt force trauma to the head.
Yeah.
He was
a decent sized guy. So, I mean, imagine if you're getting smashed in the head with something.
Yeah. But,
that's going to be all she wrote.
Yeah. A hammer to the back of the head is going to knock you down. Yeah. Whoa. Anything. But, dude,
imagine this, dude. Like, so Faith's daughter had all those medical issues with her.
Yeah.
Was essentially, you know, handicapped.
Yep.
Dude, fuck, man. And she's only what, 15?
I believe so, yes.
Christ. So, that's pure evil.
Yeah. And like, that's the thing too, man. It's just like, I was watching like the news report from when they searched his property.
Yeah.
They had him in there. The police were saying that they didn't know when they died. They didn't know how. Yeah, they knew how they died.
Right.
They didn't know like where they were killed, how right. long they were in the drums.
Right.
All they knew, they weren't getting anything out of them.
And you know what it makes me...
At the time, like, you know...
It makes me
Robinson wonder, like, wasn't giving up the information.
What was his plan with the drums? Just to keep them in there and for fucking ever? And not like, try to hide them or bury them?
At this
or...
point, you got to think, you know, these women been in there for a couple years. He probably sealed the drums up and was just going to forget about it. Figure by the time someone found out about it, he might have been dead.
Oof. Holy hell, man.
Or at the very least, any level of evidence would have been,
yeah,
you know, destroyed
right.
in the decomposition process.
Yeah.
But I don't think he had a plan.
I don't know if he
like,
did.
I think he just had a bunch of drums. He killed these poor women.
From the hydroponics, right? Maybe.
Yeah. And he threw them in there and just forgot about them.
That's arrogance on a level I can't comprehend.
Yeah. It's... Well, I'm sure he was just so convinced at this point. Because he was, what, five?
Yeah,
six deep already and hadn't been caught?
Yeah. Well, I think at this point he's up to, if we're counting all the people that are just missing, he's up to eight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's up to eight at this point.
Yeah, so he's taken at least eight people's life. He's destroyed one little girl's life.
He killed her. Oh, you're talking about the baby.
Yeah, yeah. Her baby. Tiffany. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiffany.
Yeah.
And then you got to think, too, like, when this girl grows up, she finds out what he did.
Ugh.
Now her whole life is a lie.
Poor thing. That's just
this dude unimaginable. Is straight fucking evil.
Well, I mean, so... And
he did it for such a petty reason, too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, for money.
He wanted money. That's or all power. It was. Yeah.
Like power over another person. Well, in 2002, though, the good news is they found all this information. They found all the victims. Well, they don't find all of them. They found the five in the drums. There's five in the drums and three I think they never found.
Yeah, two or three they never actually found.
Yeah. So his body count is at eight. So they found five. They can't find three. They never found them. And when they caught him in 2002, when he stood trial, for the murders of Trout and...
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
And he stood trial for Trout and Stacy and Lewicka.
Yeah.
They asked him, hey, where are the other bodies? We know that you're connected. We know now, of course, that you've murdered these people. Where are they? And basically, he said, fuck you, I'm not telling you. It's his last bit of control and power that he has.
Yeah, like he's...
I know something that you want to know.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to tell you.
Yep.
Never not unless
there's
you.
Like this super great deal you're going to offer me, and
unless you let me out,
yeah, you're never going to find.
You're never going to find out. So he was found guilty on all counts for those three murders.
Good.
Yep. Bucker was sentenced to death for the murders of Trout and Lewicka, but due to dating and all this, you know, the CSI kind of stuff, they found out that Stacy's murder was done before Kansas had reinstated the death penalty. So he got a life sentence for that, but it was really irrelevant at that point too. It's justice for the family, but the dude is already sentenced to death. Now, not only did he have that shit going on in Kansas, but he also had to deal with the other stuff in Missouri because that's where they found the three drums.
Yeah,
and his story was in Missouri, and Missouri was going hard in the paint for a death sentence. Like they were not fucking around with this guy. They wanted him dead.
Immediately.
Yeah. However,
yeah.
It was the bodies were only found in Missouri. And unfortunately, you know, it was a little different when they went to his farm. It's a place. He's there.
It's on his property. It's
on his property. Yeah. So they didn't really have the proof that saying, hey, we know what happened in this county and this year. We know that it happened in Missouri. They didn't know that. There was really no way to prove it.
Yeah.
It's just the body.
Yeah, that's why they couldn't prove like a time of death.
Well,
because
still
like, and it was kind of like a plea deal, sort of, to avoid the death penalty in Missouri, which I assume would have been a lot faster than it is in Kansas. That's why he made the fucking deal.
Yeah, he would have been, walked right out back and shot.
He wouldn't have been in there long. So he gave a plea deal, and that's how Missouri took it. Was like, okay, this guy's pleading with us. And he acknowledged that there was enough to convict him on the murders of the Fafes, right?
Yep.
Clampett, Godfrey, and Bonner. So he received life without parole for each of the murders individually.
Yeah.
Good. But fuck that guy.
He never getting out.
No. In November 2015, the Trout and Stacy's murders, and I hate this for the families, that they were vacated due to technicalities.
Yeah.
Seems to think, but the good news is
they still got him.
They still got him, and he still received the death penalty for the Wicca murder.
Yeah.
So the fucker's still sitting on death row.
Yeah. Now, see, I do know that sometimes in court cases, when there's so much evidence, so much that person did,
right,
they'll actually back off some of the crimes to guarantee the harshest punishments.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even though, unfortunately, the Trout and Stacy didn't get convicted of them.
Right.
You still know he's there. Yeah. And he's never getting out. He's got like, what, 3 death penalties on him. He's got multiple life without paroles.
Oh, yeah. He's not going. He's on death row currently. He's still alive.
And that's one thing, dude. I think people like that, they shouldn't.
Why is it taking so long? Well, he's appealing it.
Yeah, no.
He's appealing the death penalty. He's not appealing the charges. He's appealing the death penalty.
Yeah. So he can, you know, mooch off of other people's money for the rest of his life.
Yeah,
but see, I think in that situation, dude, you got that much evidence. You find bodies on 2 different properties that he owns.
Yeah.
He admits to killing several women.
Yep.
He will not give you. He gives you nothing when it comes to the remaining bodies that he has admitted to killing. Yep. But won't tell you where they are.
Right.
That dude shouldn't have lasted. There should have been no appeal. He shouldn't have lasted more than a month.
I agree.
He should have lasted for however long it would have taken to charge up the chair. Yeah. How much? How long? 15 minutes? Okay, you got 16.
Right.
The dude pulling the switch has to go take a leak real quick.
Yeah. You know? Just on killing a 15-year-old disabled girl. Alone, not to mention all the other poor victims that he did.
Yeah, I mean, this dude has been ruining lives for what, the better part of 30 years.
Yeah, he started this bullshit in like the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, I mean, he started off with simple, you know, just stealing money, maybe a little bit of forgery.
I think the thrill wasn't there for him anymore.
Yeah. And then he escalated quick.
And when he got into the internet and the chat room stuff, I think that's when it really blossomed.
Yeah. Like, he got into it quick.
Yeah.
Dude, like, he went from, I'm just going to steal your wallet to, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, there was no transition period where, like, he was beating on people. He ramped up his crimes. He went straight to killing.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, man. Well, the good news is that this fucker's rotten in prison.
Yeah. And hopefully
he will eventually be executed. Hopefully. And I hope he doesn't die in jail before.
No, the only thing you can hope for, dude, is that the prisoners take care of him.
I don't think they're gonna. He's still alive. I believe they're isolated there.
Yeah. If he's still alive now, they ain't getting to him.
Right. Well, all right, everybody. Well, that was our first serial killer episode.
Yeah, and a fuck, piece of it was shit that he was.
Yeah, it was a doozy, man. Like, holy hell, the fucking sick mind of some people.
Yeah, and this is why I don't understand why he isn't a more well-known killer. Probably mainly due to the fact his body count wasn't that high.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't do these extreme, like, rituals to kill them.
You know? Right. Yeah. It's not a night stalker. Richard Ramirez yeah. killing. It's not yeah, those types.
Yeah. He wasn't doing anything.
It's not Berkowitz. Hey, you know, my fucking neighbor's dog was talking to me. Yeah. To kill people. Like, that's insanity. Yeah. That's a story that like latches on to people.
Yeah.
You know, and he was doing all this in secret too. So it wasn't like really publicized. They weren't finding the dead bodies.
No, I mean,
he was hiding them at least well enough to get away with it for a long time.
Yeah. I think that's all it was that his story wasn't big enough, sensational enough to be ran by the press.
There was nothing to report.
Yeah. Not until he got caught.
Not until he got caught. Yeah.
And then the moment he got caught, though, as soon as they showed up, they found everything.
Yeah.
Big pass we need.
All right, man. I'm done talking about this piece of shit. Yeah. I'm over it. I don't want to talk about this guy no more. Next week, we're going to come up with something a little bit more fun to kind of lighten the mood of the show.
Yeah,
I feel like I need a fucking fun injection to get after this fucking guy. All right, everybody. Thanks again. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook at Gamma Ray Podcast. Visit our website, GammaRayPodcast.com.
Don't forget YouTube as well.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yep.
We are on YouTube.
We're on YouTube.
Yep.
Third episode we have on there?
Third episode on YouTube. And this is our episode 7.
Yep.
John Robinson. Aye, aye, aye. All right, everybody. Yep. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.
See y'all.